It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert. Rob Ferret is out today. When it comes to racial disparities and criminal justice, Wisconsin stands out. The state has the highest rate of black male incarceration in the country at double the national average. And Wisconsin is the worst state in the country to be a black child, according to the National Race to Results Study, looking at things like education and income. And in Milwaukee, the situation is even more striking. It has the highest degree of racial segregation and black poverty in the nation. Half of all 30 to 40-year-old black men living in Milwaukee County have been incarcerated. While these numbers aren't new, recent protests around the nation have put them into greater focus. This week, members of the Milwaukee community gathered at Clinton Rose Senior Center to talk about race and criminal justice. Mayor Tom Barrett spoke, as well as Chief Judge Jeffrey Kramers. State Senator Lena Taylor from Milwaukee was also there and spoke from the crowd. She joins us now to talk about the racial issues facing the state and Milwaukee. Senator Taylor, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure to be with you.
Well, what was the scene like at the Senior Center on Wednesday?
Well, you know, I always love going to the Community Justice Council, but this was one of the largest turnouts that there's ever been since the council was created. In addition, one of the more diverse turnouts, because often early on there was often individuals from the system, meaning people who work in the system or are elected, you know, but not community. And so there was a huge, compared to previously, number of individuals who've come from the community, as well as there was also diversity in age as well as in race. And so that was very encouraging.
Why was the turnout so big at this particular meeting?
I think, one, because of the topic. They were talking about race in the justice system. Many of us did social media work and advertisement to get individuals out and engaged, as well as, I think, just the whole environment of what's happening across the nation in regards to race and the justice system, because the justice system encompasses everything from policing to district attorneys to judges and to the services and availability of defense representation, as well as services for things that people need in our system across the board. And the disparities that exist across that are the, you know, challenges in the nation. And so I think people were excited to be able to hear, well, what's going on? Are we going to hear some truths? And there were some real encouraging things that I think happened in the room, like learning that for the first time across our entire justice system, they shut it down to have a conversation about race, and that they did that for what was equivalent to an entire workday, that someone did a presentation for them where they talked about everything from, you know, white privilege to the preconceived notions that we might have when we're walking down the street and we, you know, hear somebody walking behind us.
Well, the racial issues that Milwaukee deals with on a regular basis, they're in the national spotlight now, as you said, against a backdrop of Ferguson and national protests. How is that affecting dialogue in Milwaukee?
We had some for the first time that I can recall. What they did at Clinton Rose Center, what the Community Justice Council did. Now, granted, I feel that there were many challenges in what they did. You know, we shouldn't have the chief judge, who's Caucasian, facilitating a conversation about race. It's important for him to share what happened among the judges and the DAs. I think that that's important. But I don't think that that would have necessarily been the best facilitator. And I think that when you are having a conversation with the community, it can't be a monologue. You know, you can't hear someone give a comment and then try to tell them why what they said isn't it, or why they should, you know, feel comfortable because we did a little bit, you know, on the issue. So I think that and I think you have to have people of color engaged in the preparation and in the presentation of what you do if you want to talk about race. It doesn't look right if you just have, you know, all white guys.
Now, at one point, as I understand it, Mayor Barrett said sometimes he's actually embarrassed to be the mayor of Milwaukee when he's looking at the data on racial disparities. That was a striking thing for a mayor to admit. What did you think when you heard him say that?
I was glad to hear him say that. I think that it's no different than the conversation that we had with the governor when he first got elected as the Black Caucus. We met with him and said, we have some of the worst disparities that exist in the nation. I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican. Governor or a citizen. We shouldn't be proud to be the cesspool of, you know, the worst. And so I'm glad to know that it makes the mayor uncomfortable, and that because of that, he was willing to be a part of a conversation to talk about race in the justice system. I was glad that he went to sit with the president to have a conversation about what can be done, you know, differently in midst of policing to help to rebuild the trust that is broken among our police department and our community. So, you know, it's refreshing for me to hear someone speak the truth, right? Now let's do something about it.
Well,
it's
coming out of this,
little bitty bits and pieces.
Coming out of this now, do you leave with the sense that people are committed to taking concrete action to get to work on some of these racial inequities?
Oh, I want to be clear. I know that people have been doing some work on justice reform issues. Much of the work that the Community Justice Council is doing is work that came from years and years of work that many people have done, including the State of the Justice Tour that we did in 2007, and 2009, the justice reinvestment work that came from the great work of the Justice Center, which is part of the Council of State Government. So many people who came from that committee then came and brought that work in Milwaukee County, and they've been tweaking and doing that work since then. So they've been doing the work. The issue is that we have to be transformational, and we are going to need to do it at a larger scale, so it's going to require more collaboration across not just you know, some individuals in the justice system, but across the city, the county, and the state working together, right, in order to create some changes in policy as well as services. You know, all of that has to happen simultaneously in order for us not to lead in the nation in incarceration of African American men. I mean, that's, you know, it is you know, more than twice. I think we're at almost 13% or something like that of our population, which is more than twice the national average, I think.
Now, you use the word transformational about what you need to do moving forward in Milwaukee. What would that look like, and what kind of time frame are you hoping for?
Candidly, a lot of the work is being done, but we're in silos. So I kind of want to break down the walls on the silos and create a bowling alley, and we could hit some strikes real quickly. For example, we already know that mental health and alcohol and drug addiction, which I think is mental health, those issues are, a number one, a trigger for why we're in the situation we are. And our community correction system is another. So there's been a lot of work that's been done, but on a smaller, like, pilot, like, smaller pieces. And it's time to ramp those things up. And so I think we have to create opportunities for larger collaborations to happen so that we're, for example, not doing a program on reentry and helping people get job training that's for 25 people when we know in the community that we're doing it in, they have 3,000 people who reenter.
Now,
we've got to ramp those kind of programs up. That's what I envision.
Do you think that the state needs to be involved? And on a state level,
yes.
Right now, is there the sense that the state government is also invested in making changes?
Most definitely, the state has to be involved. And surely, part of the reason that we're where we are is because of the horrific policies like truth and sentencing that created these horrific over-incarceration numbers, the disparities that existed, you know, in the difference of policing for various drug charges, how we have an over-incarceration of nonviolent offenders, which is one of the triggers that we learned in 2009 from the state, Wisconsin state data that we learned was one of our issues. Well, our governor, honestly, to be very candid, led the charge on a lot of that legislation in our state, the truth in sentencing in particular legislation. But I think because of his interest to run for governor, I mean president, as well as I think having a budget that was the number one spender in corrections, that it's even caused someone like him to look at things differently. And I candidly know that I have colleagues on the other side of the aisle. I know Representative Hutton in particular has been a champion on looking into the issues of the correction system and how we can do things differently so that we're not a leader in a negative way. And I believe that the governor is more interested now, for whatever reason that he's interested. I'm glad. And I'm willing to lock arms with Democrat, Republican, male, female, old, young, white, black, Hispanic, you name it, Hmong, who's willing to work on these issues.
Now, taking this to a national level for a moment, with regards to criminal justice, some protesters are calling for police video cameras to hold police to greater account. And in New York, Eric Garner's death was captured on video camera, but there was no indictment. Do you feel that video cameras are part of the solution?
There is no question that video cameras create transparency, and transparency always helps things to be different, and I think move in a positive direction. So, yes, I believe the video cameras are part of the solution. Do I believe that they're the panacea? No. Do I believe that, because we have a camera that it means that the justice system, the over-policing, the district attorney's discretion or the judge's discretion are now all of a sudden going to be perfect? No, of course not. And do I believe that if we're talking about we're gonna have video cameras, but we're only going to have 15, 20, 50 of them on a police force that has hundreds or a thousand plus people, then that's not going to be very effective, right, unless you figure out how you're going to target with those few that you have to make a difference. So, yes, they're a part of the solution, but it has to be real. It can't be just to say you did it, but you really didn't do enough for it to even make a dent. And then with the cameras, you need to use the cameras then also to determine what preventive measures you can put into place or tracking measures you can put into place so that we don't get to the Mike Browns or the Derek Williams, like the gentleman in Milwaukee who died in the back of a police car gasping for breath and saying he couldn't breathe, or Dontre Hamilton, the young man who had mental health challenges and was in a park sleeping. The officer shot him 14 times. So those situations not only require that we track and see if someone has an excessive force, complaint, but that we also have mandatory training for police in areas like cultural competency, in areas like how to deal with individuals with mental health issues, list goes on.
And briefly, on a personal level, you're a state senator representing a region with some of the worst outcomes for African Americans in the country. What are your hopes, your dearest hopes, going forward for Milwaukee?
You said it best right there, that I would be able to say that when I came, those are the kind of stats that we had. And when I left, that those stats are not the stats that we have. And because of the policy and the work that I've done, that we are not number one in the nation in incarceration of African American men. That 56% unemployment in Milwaukee is no longer so, that we were able to address that. That, 37% of African American women and 29% of African American women who are in poverty are no longer there. That 85% of the children in Milwaukee not being able to read on grade level is no longer the truth. Instead, it's flipped around. Oh, it's only 15% of the children who can't read on grade level. I'd like it to be zero, but my point is 85% not being able to read is only the pipeline to this very conversation, that we speak to. If you don't have hope, if you can't see hope, if you can't read, you can't learn. If you can't learn, you can't work. So it's all interconnected. It would be my dream that correction reform would happen so that we would have different outcomes.
Senator Taylor, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with State Senator Lena Taylor from Milwaukee about racial disparities in the state.